Welcome to Today with Jared James. And now, your host, Jared James.
You look like this is gonna
Sporty
age
spice?
Me right now.
Sporty
no,
spice.
Yes, but
I really like Victoria Beckham.
Okay, well then, yes.
Oh, or was she posh? Wait,
yes.
What? Sporty?
It's not sporty, I don't think. Is
what
it?
Was it?
Who's Victoria
know.
Beckham? I love that I don't know this. Here, give me those cards right there. Let me see those cards.
Did you read these cards yet?
I have not read them yet.
Very nice.
But I was showing you, like, it's very nice after events. People will send very nice cards that come in,
uh-huh.
and those will counter all of the negative crap uh-huh. that comes in. So, hey, everyone. Jared James here. Welcome to this edition of Today with Jared James. Another podcast. Miss Linda is here with me because you
are... Future Mrs. James.
Future Mrs. James. We'll get into that. Absolutely. Wow. You're not even...
I have to say that.
Going right into it. You know what I was going to say you look like right now? You look like one of those old like David Bowie videos with the models, with the hair back... And like just the, you know.
Is this black and white time?
Nope. I don't go that far back.
He said yes.
No, I'm just kidding.
He doesn't know.
Oh.
Come on. He's a youngster, babe.
The producer
okay?
Tom over
And I don't
there.
See color, so I don't know if that was there or not.
So it is black and
okay,
white, but it wasn't
right.
color.
Anyway, though, you look like that right now, which looks fantastic, by the way. Yes.
Well, thank you.
You look
just means I didn't want to do my hair today.
You look very nice. We were just looking at some cards.
Me either.
From people. He caught me in the beginning. I was showing you. I am going to look at these, by the way. A lot of times after events, people will send
I mean,
in cards.
I would like to read one of them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I gave it to you. I thought you were
like
going to.
Like to everyone.
No, I'm not going to read it out loud.
Okay,
we
don't do that.
No, but it's a nice counter, though, because it's mm-hmm. so funny. I said it's a nice counter to all the nonsense that's out there. And it's like, you know, on like Instagram and everything, right? There's been all this stuff going on and whatever. And so you put out all these reels and they get a lot of views, which means you get a lot of... good compliments, and then you just get a lot of not, you know?
Well, I was kind of, oh, yeah, sorry.
What always cracks me up, because people will say, like, you know, what a clown, he didn't even talk about blank, you know, whatever. I'm like, guys, reels are 60 to 90 seconds. How much detail do you want me to go into? Like, literally, it's just an extended headline mm-hmm. where you can make one point and move on. Like, that's it, you know? Mm-hmm. This is where we really talk about, the podcast is
yeah.
where we really talk about stuff a little bit more in depth, and so we will do that today, because there's been a lot of things that, it's something that happened today we're going to talk about, but what were you going to say?
Oh, I was, like, overhearing your podcast, not your podcast, Joe Rogan's podcast,
uh-huh.
about, like...
We get the same number of views.
Comments. So. Yeah, you guys do.
Yeah.
Clearly
you know,
do.
People mix them up all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Endorsements. All that,
oh,
all
crazy.
The time.
Are you kidding me?
It's crazy.
I wish I hadn't turned down my $1 billion deal with Spotify.
Bummer.
But it was okay. offered to both of us.
Yeah,
he
I know.
He just took it quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It hit his inbox first, probably.
Crazy.
A couple
well,
of
I just looked at it. I was like, maybe I'll get to it tomorrow. He was clearly desperate. You
yeah,
know
but
what I mean?
Okay. So in his podcast, he was talking about, like, you know, when you made it, like, you really have to train yourself not to, like, look at these comments, because a lot of the comments that you see are going to be, I mean, a lot are supportive and a lot are going to bash you. And mm-hmm. those that have made it in life and doing very well and don't have time to go on there and bash you. Those are the ones that have no life to bash you. Like, you know, he was talking about that.
He was talking about you got to think about the mentality of a person.
Seriously.
That they go and put negative comments on YouTube.
Like, who are those people?
It's like, what are you doing here? You know?
Exactly.
It's what's going on with
they
your life.
They have no best use of their time besides
yeah.
going on there and doing
what's
that.
What's going on in your life? You know what I mean? Like that is an acceptable use of time for you. You know, I've seen stuff before I don't like. I don't know if I've ever put a negative comment on a YouTube video. I've seen videos I don't like. It's just, that's a different mm-hmm. person. That's just a different person.
And quite honestly, if you think about it, those that are on there, like, you're doing something right, because you're now grabbing certain people's attention. You're getting
oh, I've
feedback.
I've said to you
you're
before,
getting...
like you can judge your level of success based on the level of hatred that you create.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
when the hatred goes up, you're doing well. I've gotten to a point right now where, you know this, I have always been a huge advocate when it comes to, and I still push this because I still teach social to people. Like, look, you need to go in there like right away in the first 10 minutes, respond to every comment, and then batch them so that it pushes it back to the top, and respond to every single comment and whatever. And like, I literally have always done that. So just so everybody knows, I'm not saying it doesn't follow my own advice, but a lot of those videos now have tens of thousands of comments. I can't do that anymore. Like, it's just, like, impossible. And
yeah.
so, like, now I will literally, like, pay attention for the first, like, half hour, 10 minutes, whatever it is. And then you just let them go, you know. Like, I saw one the other day, and it said, like, this thread is makes this video worth it more than anything. This is the most entertaining thread I've ever been on. Like someone, I saw that comment like in my notifications and I'm like, my God, do I even want to go look at what's going on?
It's great though. It's like you're giving your opinion, your thought, your inputs, whatever. And then you're allowing others to create dialogue.
Like, well, that's what happens. Yeah.
You know, it's just here's a platform.
That's right.
Nice, communicate.
That's right. But I'm telling you though, and I legitimately mean this, I don't see a lot of times people ask me this. I don't see a lot of the dialogue that goes on my videos anymore. Because it's just impossible. Yeah. Like it's literally impossible. And once you get to a point where like your stuff is going not only to your people, but it's going to outside people who don't know you and goes to these trolls and goes to whatever, the hatred gets so heavy and the comments just get so opinionated that it's just not even worthwhile anymore. Like I know why I believe what I believe. I know, you know, whatever. I don't have any interest anymore.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing good that's coming from that. Right. So it's great that they help the algorithm. It pushes the video up and it gets more views. And so thank you to you, troll. appreciate you. Don't go anywhere. Keep coming back. You didn't ask this question, but people have asked and we're talking about it now. But no, I don't go look at all the comments anymore just because the sheer volume, like you can't. It's there's, think about it, thousands of, it's just like, holy moly, like this is insanity, you know? It gets a little,
and it would take away from you creating content.
That's exactly right.
People are wanting, you
it
know,
pulls you down this. It pulls you down this thing of just like, and now you start questioning this and questioning that. And I've got plenty of people and things going on in my life that make you question things and make you rethink your positions and make you, you know, without a doubt. But you know, the idea that you're going to get it from comment 1737 from somebody with a cat as their profile picture. Yeah, I'm good.
And then real quick, you know, I know we really didn't want to talk about this, but
oh boy, that's always a good start. I know we don't want to talk about this.
Congratulations to 100,000 and oh. Now we're like, I mean, isn't that a big deal? I mean, you do a lot of work behind the scenes that people don't even recognize. Like I see your team sees, like I see, you know, you and Tom work even after hours, whatever you want to consider after hours, right? Congratulations on that, because you have put a lot of work into...
That's very cool. I will say it's so crazy. So what you're talking about... So obviously there's many different platforms, but on Instagram, yes. Crossed 100,000. Mm-hmm. I think what I'm most proud about that, and I've said this even when I put out the video thanking everybody, is twofold. Number one, how quickly that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning I was at like 28,000 6 months ago, and it just took off. But honestly, like I stopped giving anybody else any say and took it over myself, and that's all I'll say about it. But the other thing is, not one of those is... purchased.
Yeah.
So like 99.999%, and I'm being so nice right now, of the accounts that so many of you watch and listen to, so many fake accounts. Like they're buying followers, they're buying likes, they're buying views, they're buying whatever. 1,000,000%, not one purchased. None of it was ego or, you know, any of that stuff. It's just literally just continually putting out content, really getting in touch with myself too, and really saying what it is I want to say, which sometimes comes off as controversial in the world we live in today. But really, it's just common sense, you know? And so I've done a lot more of that. I've been putting out a ton of videos. It's easier than ever with green screens now to pull headlines and just talk about them, you know? There's been so much to talk about. But now I see how it happens. Like my kids said to me the other day, they're like, do you think you'll hit 1,000,000? And for the first time ever, I was like, yeah, I think so. I don't know how it doesn't happen. Because that's how quickly that happened. And literally, I mean, it took how many years to get to 25,000? Which, think about a room with 25,000 people.
Yeah.
This is why I say to real estate people and entrepreneurs all the time when they're like, well, I don't want to make content because I only get 217 views. I only get 300 views. I only get, you know, I don't get as many views as you. Well, your market's not my market. What would you pay? That means that 300 people stopped and watched your boring real estate video and chose you over Netflix. Mm-hmm. Think about that. That's a very specific targeted audience. What would you pay to have 300 people in a room listening to your buyer seminar, listening to your seller seminar? Like, how much is that worth to you? It is worth an astronomical amount of money, but we don't think of it that way. When you make a very specific niche video with hundreds of views, those are hundreds of people who gave you their attention at that moment that are specifically interested in what you are talking about. That goes beyond any value. And here's the kicker. It's free.
I know.
You know? So you don't need to get the number of views I get or somebody else gets or, you know, whatever it is. But now I see how it happens.
Yeah.
I see how quickly it
happens.
People
are just so stuck in this mindset of perfection.
Yeah.
And, you know, hey, I'm at fault for that too. Like,
of course.
I don't like the way I look. I literally sat here and I, what did I say? Babe. Oh, I hate a side angle. I hate a side angle.
I like, say it to you, all the time. I'm like, oh, that's too filtered. That's too this.
And
that's
it's just like, you know, or it's too perfect. The, you know, the first take is fine, you know, but we spend so much time on perfection, which I've always said, being a perfectionist really allows you just to procrastinate.
Yeah.
You're constantly procrastinating.
Yeah.
So for the, what you did for the past six months to get to 100,000, people are still stuck at what they're at because the, it's not perfect.
I mean, look at, I mean, they look, like right it. Before I just sat down here, we just had big news today that we're going to talk about.
Which is what we kind of
we're going to talk about today. But like, you know, for example, it was 28 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. I put up an, and again, I'm talking all platforms, but really, I'm just talking specifically about Instagram right now, but I put it on all platforms 28 minutes ago and it's at 6,000-7,000 views already, you know, whatever. Like, think about that. That's an arena. So I could have sat there and went, this isn't perfect. I didn't like the lighting. Someone walked by. I feel like I cut my – oh, and even after I put up the video, I went, I should have said this. I thought of that, right? Mm-hmm. But now if I allowed that to rule the day, forget about where that video is going to go. That's 6,000-7,000 people. That's an arena who wouldn't have heard what I had to say this afternoon. Like, that is insanity. When you put it into perspective of put them in a room and what is that? Forget about, you know, we just call things internet leads. We dehumanize things to make ourselves feel better.
Yeah.
What are internet leads? They're people looking to buy or sell who used to be referrals.
Mm-hmm.
No different. It's not like when you get the commission, it's paid out different because it was an internet lead. We do the same thing right now when we talk about social. And you know, we say, well, they're not my real friends. How many real friends do you have, Bob? You know, you cutting all of them off? Like, the bottom line is, it's top of mind.
Yeah.
And when, so when you look at why you send out postcards, when you look at why, it's all just being top of mind at the right time. It's visibility, right? Mm-hmm. Visibility is your responsibility. Visibility trumps ability. And so all of these things that are available to you to be top of mind constantly, to give people the chance to say yes or no because they know what you do, it is in the palm of your hand every single day, but we come up with excuses of why we can't do it and the perfectionism and all these other things. And meanwhile, someone else wins.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works. Someone else wins, you know? So it's not the perfection. It's not that I'm happy with my last video. That's the part that people don't see. I put it up and everybody's like, you're so articulate. Oh my God, I wish that's what I was thinking. And in my head, I'm going, I didn't say blank.
Yeah.
Because like in my head, I went, oh, that's a killer. I should have said. So let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. So we just found out. Let's talk about this. There's all these settlements happening in the real estate space. And I get really upset about this because it is, I think I called it in the video, it is mobster mentality. So we have these cases right now in the real estate space where you have these attorneys who are coming after these real estate companies. And there's no rhyme or reason why they're getting the money they are, okay? NAR paid out $418 million because they had the money to do it, not because it was the number that the plaintiffs wanted, okay? And so they pay this money out because they have that money. And then you look at REMAX, which settles early for like $55 million. And then you look at Anywhere and settles for like $58 million or something like that. You look at Real. That settles for $9.25 million. All of these different companies that settle. And you start to go, what's the rhyme or reason behind these numbers? And it literally just comes down to available cash. So just like they did with NAR, I mean, if any of you saw the interview I did with Kevin Sears, the NAR president, he detailed in a way, and I don't think people really caught this. Everybody's getting on NAR and like they sold us out, they whatever. I don't think you understand the size of this lawsuit. They were going to bankrupt NAR. Because the NAR didn't have billions of dollars to give them. This is the legal system we're working in now. You don't have to be right. You just have to be able to prove a jury that you're, you know, get a jury to say that, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that's, you know, whatever. And so the other side, if NAR doesn't settle, is that they go bankrupt. And if they go bankrupt, all of these other companies and all these other entities are not covered, which means they can still go after them, just like they're going after the companies right now that are over $2 billion in volume. So NAR had to make a calculated decision and make and choose from a lot of decisions that none of them were good, a lot of options where none of them were good. What's the best worst option? And they said, if we go bankrupt, we protect ourselves, but we don't protect our entities. We don't protect the companies under us. We don't protect our members. So we can kind of get away with that, but now they're still going to be on the hook. So we can't do that. So they're like, all right, we will settle for $418 million, but we will still allow those companies over $2 billion to be on the hook. And those companies that are over $2 billion, which are rightfully angry, NAR didn't have a choice. like the attorneys weren't going to stop unless they left them vulnerable.
Which they call what, like gold handcuffs?
It's
right?
Unreal. It's not, yeah. So hear me out on this. The NAR settles $418 million. Okay, then you see RE/MAX $55 million. You see Real at $9 million. So today, Home Services of America, which is a joke on its own because it's BHHS, Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, but they went Home Services of America, even though that's not the full entity. Like, their full entity isn't what was at stake here. They settled today for, you ready for this? Drum roll. Now, before I say this, I want you to know that they have a fraction. They have a fraction. Home Services of America has a fraction of the number of agents of RE/MAX. A fraction. RE/MAX paid $55 million. They have a fraction of Anywhere. They have a fraction of Keller Williams. They have about 2.5 times of the number of agents and volume of Real. Real settled for just over $9 million. So 2.5 times, you figure $9 million times 2.5 times is $22.5 million, right? So where are they going to settle? Not where RE/MAX was, which is, you know, double and triple their size at $55 million. Not where Real was. They're smaller. So somewhere in the $15 to $40 million, you figure. $250 million. What in the crap? Why? Available cash. We're holding you hostage. And now we know why they weren't settling all this time, because they were being held hostage for a number that made no sense. And here's the thing that gets me. Here's the thing that gets me more angry than anything. They're coming after an industry. This is mob mentality. They're coming after an industry saying that we are price fixing. And the number they keep putting on all of the news networks and all, 6%, hasn't been 6% for decades. Like, the average commission is way less than that and is able to be negotiated even further down.
Correct.
Think about that.
There is no fixed.
So they're doing that and saying that and saying, oh, we're price fixing, you know, whatever. Can you imagine if the real estate industry, the industry they're coming after, acted in the way that they, the attorneys, are acting? Where when you went to a listing presentation, you said, hey, I don't have a commission. I don't have what I charge. How much equity do you have? How much equity? I'm going to charge you based on your equity. And by the way, you can't list with anyone else. If you don't list with me, I'm going to make sure that your house goes to foreclosure. So you either go to foreclosure or I'll take a percentage of your equity. That is exactly what they are doing to these real estate companies. There's no rhyme or reason. There's no agent count. They're going to them and going, how much cash do you have? We're going to take a percentage of that cash. And if you don't agree, we're just going to keep adding up to all the legal fees. And eventually, you're going to go bankrupt if you don't settle with us. It is mobster mentality. And it is unreal that in the eyes of the public opinion, they're looking at the real estate industry like we're the problem. When really these attorneys behind the scenes, it's an absolute cash grab. And it is a mobster mentality. And it's not okay. And I don't know why nobody's saying it's not okay. Like, it's absurd. And it angers me because it's happening right in front of us. And we're just like, all right, well, another one. Looks like we're getting closer to normalcy. Another one settled. Normalcy? What happens when the mob comes in and runs New York? What happens when all they have to do is keep I want 10% more off the top. That's what's happening.
There has to be some – like, the fact that this is still going, it's going to continue to go, right? I mean, they're just hitting the tip of the iceberg of these large, you know, brokerages.
It's insane.
But, like, there has to be a reason why that – I mean, underlining as far, I understand the whole cash grab stuff, but like how you're saying, why is no one saying this? Like,
who's going to say
ignorant?
Who's going to say it? The politicians? What is almost every politician you know? What were they before they became a politician? An attorney.
But how about those attorneys representing? How about those attorneys representing Home Services of America?
They're losing.
I mean, but that's what
they're
I'm saying.
Losing.
Like, it.
And here's the
so
thing: it's not just that they're losing. What the other side is doing is holding out. Like, we'll just keep fighting. We'll just keep draining your cash. We'll just keep draining your cash. And now there's a precedent in the industry where you have other companies that settled. So now there's a precedent. So you're not going to win. That's not how this is going to end. And so you have all of these other entities, these powerful people, but they're all attorneys. They're all previous attorneys. So they're not going to go and speak out against attorneys. That's their industry. They're going to speak out against real estate. And it's just like, God, guys, it's corruption right in front of your faces right now. And yet, it's the ultimate corruption. It's like pay no. It's like the great magician. Pay no attention to this hand over here while you're doing this over here. They're going, look at this industry. They're screwing you. You shouldn't be paying this percent while they're over here just collecting hand over fist.
It's like, what's next?
Holy,
what are they
going to
go after next? You know?
Yeah, it is unfreaking real.
That is insane. That's a lot of money.
$250 million.
Quite honestly, even with real, like, yeah, $9 million doesn't sound as much as the 200 plus
million. It's a
startup
company.
Exactly. Like, that's what I was just going to say. You know how much that hurts them?
That pisses me off. Like, it pisses, like, they are a startup company who got into the industry and have done nothing the last 10 years, which is how long they've been in the industry, but watch a record market take place. So my question is, while you're hitting them saying they did something wrong, which is what it means when you give up a third of your available cash, mm-hmm. $9.25 million, where is the victim?
I know.
You're paying the money. Where's the victim? Who's the victim?
Yeah.
Like, you're saying it's sellers. Sellers did nothing but got record prices. Where's the victim? This is clownmanship. Like, mm-hmm. I don't, again, like I say all the time, welcome to 2024.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have to make sense anymore. Mm-hmm. If we say it to you enough, it's what's true. And it's like, where's the victim?
Yeah.
Because the
it's
victim,
just wild to me.
The victim is walking around with a boatload of cash right now. That's sellers.
Mm-hmm.
They are getting record prices. Where's the victim?
Yeah.
Not to mention, you're taking this startup. Let's talk about Real for a second. And this isn't what we're planning on talking about today, guys. But as you can tell, I'm a little fired up about this. But you take this startup Real. You take entrepreneurs who go out and try to make something happen. And they do. And they take a risk
and
every single day.
Successful.
And create an incredible company that agents are flocking mm-hmm. to. They're keeping more of their money. They're getting to act as entrepreneurs. They're being that you know, original Remax motto of in business for yourself but not by yourself. Like, they're taking that, the spirit of that, and running with that. And taking a huge risk against so many other competitors, so many other companies that have way more funding, way more mm-hmm. anything. And now you take these founders and you go, you've done nothing wrong. There's no victim. They've done nothing but had record markets, record sales, whatever. Give us a third of your cash or we'll just keep doing this. Who the hell are you? Like,
I mean,
what?
They haven't. Okay, correct me if I'm wrong. They've been in operations for quite some time, but they just came to the U.S. They just moved over to the U.S.
I think they've been around 10 plus years. I'll tell you right now.
I think, oh
gosh.
How
old, I'm going to say right now, how old is
they've been established for 10 years, but not in the U.S. for 10 years.
Founded in 2014 by CEO Tamir Poleg. That's 10 years.
Great guy too, by the way.
It's 10 years. 10 years on the dot. Founded in
2014. But I don't think, not in the U.S. though. So it was founded, it was brought into the U.S. just recently, I want to say. 4 or 5 years maybe. And so that's what's interesting. It's like, and I could be wrong, so I've been paying attention to them and like when they spiked
since the beginning.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. But still, I mean, 10 years. I mean, and I just saw like a spike probably the past 2-3 years, probably 3 years. As far as growth.
Oh, they're taking off now. I love what they're doing.
Absolutely.
And honestly, guys, I haven't done anything with Real Broke. Just so everybody knows, I work with all brands, whatever.
Yeah, we're not.
I'm saying positive things here. Like,
we're super
I work with all brands.
Yeah,
I love what I'm doing. I love what I'm seeing from an entrepreneurial perspective. We work with a lot of their agents. We have a lot of agents in our programs. We have a lot of agents that come to the advance.
And
we have a lot of like that stuff.
And then first up,
this is not me. Like, I don't have a deal with Real. I don't have a deal with, you know, getting mad about Berkshire Hathaway, Home Services of America having to pay out $250 million. You know, I'm an advocate for our industry. I'm mm-hmm. an advocate for entrepreneurs. I'm an advocate for taking a shot, taking a chance. I am not an advocate for shaking people down like you're part of a mob and threatening them with draining their bank accounts when they've done nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So these people, I know what it's like to start businesses. I know what it's like. Can you imagine if someone came to us for First Up? We started it less than a year ago. And we're growing fast. We're having brokerages everywhere using First Up with their agents as necessary. But can you imagine if someone came to us now and said, how much cash do you have in there?
Yeah.
We're just going to take it.
Congratulations.
You've done
on your
nothing,
success.
But we're yeah. just going to take it.
Yeah.
How is this any different? Again, where is the victim? Where? I don't know how this is allowed to operate in the U.S. And we've said for years in the U.S., we've talked about how expensive healthcare is. And we say it's because people can sue so easily and they can, you know, and all these different things, doctors, malpractice, all of this stuff that's going on. That's why it's so expensive. And they say there has to be a change. There has to be a change. When do we allow When do we stop allowing this rampant suing and all this other kind of liability and all this kind of to go to a place where it's making everyone pay through the freaking nose and just allowing it to continue? When does it stop?
Exactly.
What industry does it stop at?
That's the question.
When? You could just go start suing whether you're right or wrong, but you can't afford to stick with it. So I'm just going to keep suing. And then people settle, and that settlement is considered now some kind of a precedent. And then you just – like it just continues. It's just wrong. Mm-hmm. It's just wrong.
They're on a roll. So that's what I would say. Like, when does it stop? Does it stop? What's next? You know? It's that.
And now you have NAR that there was preliminary approval on their settlement. And that – The next court hearing for that, I think, is going to happen in November. But for anybody listening right now, you still can't stick your head in the sand and say, oh, it's going to get approved, whatever. Like, NAR is still putting the changes in place in July. You know, so when we talk about buyer agency representation signed with every single buyer prior to doing anything.
Those are just mandates.
When we talk about percentages, you know, being taken off the – I mean, the number one thing that we heard once the whole thing came out about percentage compensation being taken off of the MLS with First Up – was people were like, you know, can you put that as a field for our First Up app? FYRSTUP. Done. We did it within a week. Like, you need to see what you're getting paid, guys. That's not some kind of unfair advantage or what. You need to know what you're going to get paid, right? Yeah. So all of that stuff is going to take place, even though there's not final approval yet. They're still, NAR is pushing forward with those changes to happen in July, as they talked about.
So, and I think that's the confusion. Individuals are like, oh, it's still going to be voted. And so we still have July. No, those are mandates. Those actually come from the board of directors. They vote, they approve, they pass. And then and they allow so many months, days in between for MLSs to figure it out.
Yeah.
You know?
And you ran an MLS.
Yes. So that's going to happen.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah.
It's the, like you said, the settlement is still.
And there's, by the way, there's still the looming, will the DOJ go and try to change anything, you know, which I'm so over this DOJ. Like, I, guys, just so you all know, it's not a political thing. Like, it's not like a whatever. Like, I don't care who's in. It's just stop putting your, like, you're not making any sense. Like, you're literally not. They came out, I put a reel up about this. They're going after junk fees. In the mortgage, now they're going after the mortgage industry, junk fees. Now, when you see a headline that, you know, the DOJ or the administration is going after junk fees, I don't know about you, but I kind of go, awesome. I think there's a lot of junk. Why don't we start with all the bills you're passing in Congress and get rid of all that junk while we're looking at things? But here we go. So I'm like, oh, junk fees. Okay, well, that's fantastic. I would like things to be lesser cost for people when they're buying homes and they're selling. Like, that sounds like a great thing. Let's take a look at what that means. Mm-hmm. And then you get deeper. And the definition of junk fees was when the buyer is paying down or buying down the rate on their loan. So this is what gets me. You are in control. You have a lot to do with what the rates are. The rates keep going up and up and up. And then when the rates go up and up and up and the buyer comes in and goes, I can't afford that. I'm going to do a one-time fee to bring that rate down. You're now going after mortgage brokers saying they're the problem because they're allowing them to buy down the rate that you gave them, the rates. And instead of actually attacking rates and trying to get those lower, which would actually affect the consumer month after month after month and for the rest of their life and would help them, you're going after the one-time fee that goes to the mortgage broker, which is only there because of you, because you're the problem, and you're going after them and making it like they're the problem. And I'm like, is anything not backwards anymore? Like, do we ever focus on the actual issue anymore? Or is everything just a big PR game, you know, to try to look good and to try to – and it's just – it's like if you have any sense, everything right now is just infuriating because you're just like, I'm not dumb enough to fall for that, you know? And what's really infuriating is that like 90% of the public is – we read headlines now. It's what we do. Junk fees. Oh, awesome. Junk fees. Well, look a little deeper.
So is that something that's already passed, being voted on? What's going on here? What's going on
Nothing's
with that?
Because
I am
yet.
Not familiar with that.
Nothing's passed yet. But by the way, I want to be clear about something else too, while we're on these notes.
You're coming in hot.
You're coming in hot. They're doing something I like right now too. The FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, is trying to. They passed, but it's not really in their jurisdiction. So we'll see if it officially passes.
Yeah.
To get rid of non-compete agreements. I like that.
I mean, I like that too.
It's I'm look, I yeah, first, I did a video.
I think you should first kind of like explain who does it apply to.
Okay, so
okay, because there's a lot of confusion out there.
Okay, so first off, let's just be clear about something. I think anybody who listens to me knows, and if you hear me talking about these things and ranting about these things, and you hear me talk about the DOJ and whatever, and like just, you know, and I say stop putting your nose where it doesn't belong. I am a big, just so you all know, when it comes to a government person, I am a build roads, protect the country, get the hell out of the way. It is not your job to run everybody's lives. That was literally why we came here, you know, from Britain, from like, let us run our lives. Like, that's it. I don't care about what you're this, that. I don't care. I don't want to think about you. I don't care who's in power. I don't care what letter is next to them. I don't care. I just want to run my own life. I don't want you running my life or telling me what I'm supposed to be doing. And so that's why, like, I'm for the non-compete thing, because shooting down the non-compete, I'm pro-worker, I'm pro-person, I'm pro-entrepreneur, I'm pro-choice, I'm pro, like I get to decide what I do, right? And so when you start looking at non-competes, this is a thing that's become normalized in our country that is not normalized everywhere, where when you're with a company, usually it's 2 years.
So it's kind of like employer to employee.
It's like, hey, you can't go work at any place that competes with us for 2 years. Now, that's a problem. Like, now, most people think of executives and people in the financial world. You know, we have friends that have left very powerful jobs. And one of the main sticking points when they go are these non-competes. Because, like, look, if you're not going to employ me anymore, I need to be employed. And this is my skill set.
Yeah.
And this is my network. And these are the people. And they'll say, well, you can't for 2 years. Mm-hmm. But don't worry. We're going to give you a little golden parachute. We're going to give you some money. But you can't work anywhere for 2 years.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, great. You gave me money so that I'm going to be able to pay my bills. But now I'm losing contact with the industry. Now I'm losing my network. Now I'm losing. Now it's like a quarterback who leaves in their prime. And then 2 years later, like, I want to come back. And people are like, I don't know. It's the speed of the game.
Yeah.
Are you still in? You're not really up on things anymore. You're not really. And so you kind of scarlet letter that person. Mm-hmm. But like, it's not just executives and financial people in the financial world, whatever. 1 out of 10 of these people is somebody who makes less than $20 an hour. Mm-hmm. Think about that, you know? So it's not just those people. It's a lot. There's people who make subs for a living who are on non-competes. Mm-hmm. And so for me personally, I don't believe in that. I believe you shouldn't be able to take clients.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a different thing, right? We have a transaction coordination company. Okay, like cleared and closed, right? And we do, we're very qualified TCs, transaction coordinators, that do transaction coordination for people all over the US, Canada, other countries, like all over the place. Now, if you leave us, which if you're gonna go do transaction coordination for somebody, not smart to leave us. You have a base, you have salary, you have retirement, you have like all these kinds of things, bonuses, like all these things that generally TCs don't have. That's how we get a higher quality TC. But if you do, go ahead and go work at whatever one of these other ones is going to be. You're not taking our clients, right? Like, those are our clients. Yeah. So I'm not saying that you should be able to take clients, but you sure as heck should not be able to work in the industry where your expertise is, or work with a competing company, or work with, that's just free open enterprise.
Absolutely. When I was managing the MLS, I went over to a brokerage in an executive position, and I left. I had a non-compete for 2 years. So I couldn't go to another brokerage.
Yeah.
I couldn't actively recruit, which I wouldn't. I couldn't even open my own brokerage. I'm not even licensed. I was not allowed to do any of that. And so for 2 years, and I'm thinking like, wow. And, you know, quite honestly, coming from the MLS space, if I did open my own brokerage, I think I would have had a good following.
Right.
An audience.
But you're supposed to be able to, because you built your network.
But and I had no idea.
Yeah.
I had no idea I even signed that or did anything like that until I did an exit.
Yeah.
So you're like, shoot. Luckily, I made a different pivot and went into technology, but like.
You had to, though.
It was very interesting. But yeah, I'm when that came out, I was like, oh, great.
That rule came out of fear. That rule was made by people who didn't want to be competed with.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not pro, you know, worker. That's not pro free enterprise.
Yeah.
That's not pro entrepreneur. We should all, in a free world, in a free environment, in a free country, we should all be able to compete.
Yeah.
And the best wins, right? Mm-hmm. I'm never afraid of somebody competing with me. You know, like, hey, you want to compete? Let's go. You're not going to, again, you're not going to steal my clients. Yeah. You're not going to steal my technology. You're not going to steal my,
quite honestly.
But you want to compete? Let's compete.
That almost validates that you have something good.
Yeah.
Right? That's a validation. You're doing something right. You
but that's my point is when you say, hey, I came from the MLS world. If I started a brokerage, I'd probably be very successful. You still to this day, you know, get a ton of calls from brokers and agents mm-hmm. and want your thoughts on things and want your, because of your network in your area. You know? Yeah. And so if you did start a brokerage, which you're not doing, but if you did and it grew quickly and it was successful, it would be because of your efforts and because of your skill set and
relationships, all of it.
All of that. Why is that shut down? Because yours isn't as good. I shouldn't be able to compete with you because mine's going to be better than yours.
I did my job too well, therefore you cannot.
Yeah, you paid me for while I worked for you. Yeah. You don't pay me for after, mm-hmm. like, you know, no, this is free. Again, I'm going to go back to it. I don't care what letter you have in front of your name. I don't care. Free enterprise.
Yeah.
You know, like this isn't communism, like free enterprise.
So does non-compete apply to, and I don't know, maybe it varies, but independent contractors.
Yeah, see, now we were talking about this. I'm not 100% sure. Like I would love to hear from you guys.
In the articles, it specifically said employer, employee.
Yes, but then you saw my, the reel I put on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok. We had agents jumping in going, my organization, I had a non-compete. I'm going to believe that they must have worked at the organization, like been an admin, been a TC, been a something like that. Because I don't know how you have a non-compete for an independent contractor. Just by the name, independent contractor.
Exactly. So that's very confusing to me.
How do you have an agent? I would love to hear from you guys, by the way. Like those of you that are watching this, that are agents or independent contractors. Have you ever had a non-compete apply to you? And if you I don't know how that would stick.
I mean, share with, make sure you're, when you're sharing, it's nothing that gets you like, I mean, in violation. These non-competes or contracts are obviously.
And by the way, the FTC shot down non-competes, but it still has to pass. Like it's not, definite yet. It's probably going to get, get overturned. But the fact that we're having this conversation now, I think is awesome. Because again, I'm going to say free enterprise.
You know how many in the tech space? Specifically, people, I quite honestly, you can't have a developer sitting with you and working on your tech stack of tools for more than 2 years before they jump off and go to another tech company. Yeah. Like they're all about building their resume and building their title.
Yeah.
This allows a lot of room for
and
them
look,
to
I would
jump
love
and
to.
Go.
Look, I'm a business owner. I would love to say that we could just put everybody on a 2 year and nobody can leave and nobody. That's just not how it works. Mm-hmm. People come and go, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Tom, you know, people come and go. It is what it is. Like it's. You can't be personal about it. You can't be whatever. There's certain people you really want to stay. But if I believe in free enterprise for me, I have to believe in it for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if someone believes that they're somewhere better, that they're going to, you know, they just want to move or you're a free person.
Yeah.
You know, I can disagree with you. I can, you know, you're a free person. Like, this is America. Like, go for it. You know?
Go ahead. No, that's going to be interesting to see how, like, it unfolds and it passes. I wonder how. I would love to sit in that room and look at how employers fight it.
Yeah.
Versus
meaning what's their argument?
Yeah.
So they're going to say, I could probably make the argument. They're going to say they have certain trade secrets and company secrets, whatever, that can be used against them if they go to a competitor. That's what they're going to say. And by the way, valid argument.
Which is very valid.
Okay, so here's the thing. Okay. When you start making these arguments, you have to – a lot of times what we do is we do this binary. Like we say, okay, like whether that argument's right or wrong, and then that means the argument's right or wrong. That's mm-hmm. not true. Two things can be true at the same time, and you've got to figure out not only which one's more right but which one has more consequences. So if we say, well, you have trade secrets. You know things that are going to be used against me. That's why you can't have – that's why you can't compete with me. It's a valid argument, and that's what someone would do in a trial is they would take an argument like that, and people would go, jury would go, well, that makes a lot of sense, right? But the flip side argument is that you have a free person who now can't work, who now is not able to, and so you've got to decide which one of these not is more valid, but which one matters more, you know? It's kind of like when you have a situation where, for example, with First Up, you know, we have a company, First Up, FYRSTUP, that allows for within an organization doing, you know, the sharing of and the communication of pre-market inventory. And I saw somebody with another app or another type of thing like that recently where they wrote, how is this, how can you tell me this is good for the seller? I hear that all the time. Mm-hmm. How can you tell me pre-market inventory before it hits the open market is good for the seller? That's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. If you simply take that argument and go, how's it good for the seller? It's very easy to get stuck in a corner and go, oh man, maybe they have a point. I don't know. Maybe that's, you know, whatever. And what we never do is we never go, how can you tell me it's not good for the buyer? Mm-hmm. So now we have a different decision to make. Which one takes precedence? Which one do you have a responsibility to, you know, like you're in a record market anyway, seller's going to get an amazing price. Not like you're listing it lower. It's not like you're taking it and saying you're going to get a lower price because we're doing this pre-market with people within our office in a compliant manner. But all we do is focus on that one because they have a certain point of view and they're trying to make an argument. So all they do is focus on the seller. Mm-hmm. But nobody ever steps back and goes, well, how can you tell me it's not good for the buyer who we also represent? That we're able to share these kinds of things in an extremely competitive market where there's multiple offers and they keep missing out. And they keep, how can you tell me it's not good for the buyer? We're not asking the seller to sell it for less. And so when you change the argument, you start to realize that both of those could technically be true.
Right, yeah.
So it's not a matter of, it's a matter of which one do you put on the hierarchy scale of which one is more right? Which one is the one that's valid? Which one is the mm-hmm. one that, and so when you start to look at things that way, just in general, that'll give everybody a little insight into my mind and how I think. I don't think something has to be wrong for something else to be right. You know, we make decisions all the time. You know, like, look, when we go to dinner tonight, we're going to look at Bin 100 seems like a good option. Now, if I were to ask you, does this place seem like a good option? You'd be like, that seems like a good option too. Well, I'm not now confused on which one I should go to and one's right and one's wrong. They can both be right, but one of them is going to take precedence over the other. And so we have to keep that in mind when we're looking at decision making. It's not as binary as one's right, one's wrong, which is what almost everyone tries to do. Not only in just normal things like this, financial and otherwise and whatever, but also when it comes relationships. Most relationships, when they have a disagreement, is right and wrong.
Right and wrong.
Right?
Yeah.
How many times have you heard me say to you, we're talking about something, and I'm like, babe, I don't disagree with that point. And I know it probably frustrates you, but I'm going, babe, I don't disagree with your point. Like, you need to understand here. I'm not saying you're wrong and this is right. I'm not disagreeing with the point. That is true.
But you're also not saying my point is the only.
I'm saying this is also true and this takes precedence. You know, I've had so many conversations even with my ex-wife, right? Where like, should we make it a point, make it a point? And I'm like, I don't disagree. And I literally see her kind of like confused, like whatever. And I'm like, I don't disagree with you. Like, you need to understand here. I just see things from like a different perspective. I'm watching a lot of wheels turn right now. And so I don't get to make a decision from that one lane. I have to watch the whole highway. You understand what I'm saying? And so that again will give you insight into just how I think about things in general. And when people say, you know, I was just on a thing with BAM, the BAM Now something, BAM Fest or something, whatever, and they asked me for an objection handler for what you say to sellers who are, you know, trying to say to you something like, you know, I heard that I no longer have to pay a buyer's agent. And I said, did you hear that now or 3 years ago? Because it was true in both circumstances. And I saw them kind of go like, dang, that's pretty good. Like, that's true. Like, why didn't we think of that, you know? And it gives people insight into like the reason that my head is able to do that is because I'm looking at the whole interstate. Like, I'm not just looking at what you're saying to me. Like, I'm looking at everything.
You're not looking at the headline, which everyone
and I'm not coming at it going, I'm going to be right or wrong.
Yeah.
I'm literally looking at it as what is right and wrong. And once one thing is right, it doesn't mean nothing else can be right. There's multiple rights. And then once we figure out all those multiple rights, then we have to create the hierarchy of which ones are more pressing or which ones take precedence. And that's where, like, you know, your opinion starts to kick in, or your just your decision making, you know, what your value system is and what your, you know, all that other stuff starts to kick in. But it's because I'm not looking at one lane of the highway. I'm looking at the whole interstate, you know, and that's a different that's a different way to think of things. It's just a smarter, in my mind, a way to think of things. But
Hey guys, this podcast is brought to you by Jared James Enterprises, right? You know, coaching and training, guys. If you're watching this and you need coaching, you need training, you're in the real estate space. If you're a brokerage and you need overall training for your overall company, you're looking to hire someone, any of those types of things, we do it all. Make sure you just check out jaredjamestoday.com. Really try to stay on the cutting edge of everything that's going on in the industry. So coaching, training, you need accountability, guys. We know that 23% of people, 9% of people are going to reach their goals this year. 23% are going to stop within a week. 43% are going to stop within a month. You need to not only know your why, you need to understand how you're going to get there, and you need accountability to get there. So coaching and training, jaredjamestoday.com. This is also brought to you by Cleared and Closed. Okay, check out clearedandclosed.com. Clearedandclosed.com. We offer transaction management. No matter where you are in the world, we will create a custom list of different things that we'll do for you depending on what kind of a state, what kind of a province, what kind of a place you're in, a custom workflow for you. You'll have your very own transaction coordinator who is absolutely amazing. I'm telling you that you will love them. We're offering to you your first transaction for free. So if you're watching this, you're in real estate, you need to create leverage. You need to build that infrastructure that other people want to tell other people about. So we'll give you your first transaction free. Just mention this podcast. Get on that. Do a consult. Go to clearedandclosed.com. And last but not least, this podcast is brought to you by First Up with a Y, FYRSTUP.com. I'm not going to ask to hear that in a sentence or with a verb, but firstup.com, FYRSTUP.com. If you're watching this and you're a broker or you're an agent and you have a broker, especially right now, low inventory, all the things that are happening, people becoming more mobile, you need to have this at your in your tool belt. Everything right now about buyer agency and everything else going on, one of the number one ways that you can get someone to sign with you, sign a buyer agency agreement, is to provide more value. And what's better than to be able to say that you have a proprietary list of listings that nobody else has access to, which is what you have with First Up. You know, what First Up does is it really digitizes that traditional whiteboard, you know, where all of those listings from the time where you sign them with the seller to the time that they hit the MLS, that time in between, you're allowed to promote those within the brokerage. And so what if you had a tool within your brokerage where every time those listings were added in that in-between time, it not only notified every agent in your office, but also buyer matched. And it let them know when they have a buyer who matches, and the listing agent lets them know there's a buyer with another one of the agents in your office that has somebody who matches that. And now you're able to cross promote or and talk to each other and potentially sell that property earlier in a completely compliant manner. Okay. So you're talking about, you know, better communication. You're talking about double-ended deals. You're talking about a lot of things that are going to bring more ROI, return on investment, for such a small investment that First Up is. If you don't have it, somebody else in your area is going to get it. So FYRSTUP, firstup.com. Get on a consult, get that before your area is sold out. Now back to the show.
Anyway, on that note, we talked about you, people calling you and whatever, in your area.
You know what I did? And I referenced a reel that you shot. But what has been a week, maybe 2 weeks now, a week or so, probably a week, week and a half. You know, Central California is seeing, saw a big M&A just happen.
Merger and acquisition
happen. And, you know, you've talked about this. You called it the Great Migration. Real Trends has talked about this, like their economist has talked about it. And so, like, we know it's happening,
yeah.
These merger and acquisitions. And so there was a big one that happened in Central California that just ruffled a lot of feathers, put blood in the water. There people were unsure.
Yeah.
Agents were calling me. Agents were at first furious because of lack of communication, which always kind of happens in an M&A. It's very quiet. No one says anything.
And all of a sudden, they really can't share. And then all of a sudden,
all of a sudden, it's pulled from underneath them and they don't know what to do. They only have so many days because their license is no longer hung underneath a broker.
Yeah.
You know, and agents take a long time to shop brokers. Like, what are you doing for me? You know, but in this case, there was about under 400 agents. They only had 48 hours.
It's a big company in your area, though.
They had a big
In your
footprint.
Area, that's a big brokerage.
They had a big footprint. Yeah. Yes, they were, I think, the largest. And how it went, you know, it's a very sad story to the person that acquired. It's a very exciting story, right?
Yeah.
But But I've seen
company you worked at.
I've seen the history of that company.
Yeah.
You know, I ran a multiple listing service before I sat in that brokerage. And I have, there's history there that I know. But agents were calling me just saying, you know, what would you do? Like, or like, it's not even like, I couldn't, I'm not an agent. I don't work for a broker, but they're asking these questions. Like, what would you do? What do you think?
And they've got listings held up. They've got listings held up that would either stay there or go with them. It's not as simple as I just want to go to this other place.
And they ask because it's a lot of it is relationship. And I touched on it on my social page as well. But when they ask me, it's just so hard for me when they say, hey, what do you think of this broker, that broker? It's hard to be impartial because my mind is my mind goes to the MLS chair.
Yeah.
So I sit there and I'm like,
yeah, you heard the complaints.
It's the
complaints, it's a
violation. It's this. Like, I don't know the positive sides of things at times.
You have a different perspective than most people. I like them.
Different.
I saw them in a happy hour. You got the actual complaints.
Correct. I know the tools that they're using. I know who their largest competitor possibly is.
Yeah.
Because I sat there, and a lot of these brokers I worked with on the board of directors.
No,
and so
that.
I stay very quiet. I don't give opinions on people.
Yeah.
But I've definitely said, you know, first of all, don't jump ship right away, right?
Yeah.
Shop. What are you going to do for me?
Yeah.
You know, not, you know your value to them.
Yeah.
What are you doing for me? This is a great opportunity for you to shop around and ask.
Or to stay.
Yeah.
I mean,
stay, fill it out, do whatever you
want. With the new company that's taking them over.
In this case, they didn't have a lot of, they didn't have much time was against them. So they were told about the merger and acquisition. They tried to make it very exciting. And then all of a sudden, you have until Friday at 5 p.m.
Yeah.
That same week to figure it out, or you no longer have a broker. So everyone's rushed now.
And they've got listings.
They're signing with a broker they don't even know. Like, we're dating, but I don't even know who you are.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
This is 90-second fiance.
Yeah. So that's what they're doing. And then we were talking about this though. Cause, and like I said, I don't, my opinions on people doesn't really matter, but I look at it. I'm like, wow, would I, as a business owner, I have all these agents that jump on because time's against them. And then they shop around. There's one of two things. It could create stickiness. They don't want to do it again. They're tapped out on their emotions. They have listings to put on. I'm just gonna stay here. Like, I don't want to go through it again.
Yeah.
Right. We're not gonna do that again.
Yeah.
Or it's the opposite. So
the
broker now it's like, great, fine. I'll just do it for now.
Yeah.
This is very temporary.
Yeah.
I'm gonna shop around. I'm gonna date around, and figure this out. And then you have churn. Now you have agents leaving.
Yeah.
So does it hurt you that you have a higher churn rate now? People are dropping because everyone was forced to jump on? Like, I don't know. Then I also think maybe as a broker, would I want everyone to jump on automatically like that? Like, I don't know. So I have a lot of mixed feelings.
Let me answer for the broker.
About it? The broker wants everybody.
The answer is yes.
But you know what's crazy? The broker,
that's why they bought them.
So does the broker go after headcount? They don't want headcount? No matter what, if they're producing or not?
Market share, headcount. It depends on the goal of that agency because different agencies have different goals.
Because this is what we always talk about. I rather want market share based on volume of number of transactions.
Yeah.
I don't care about agent.
You would be a broker who wants a, you know, shout out to like our buddy John Mangus, right? Toledo, Ohio, Remax Preferred Associates. He focuses way more, him and Angela focus way more on the average per agent production.
Absolutely.
Than they do... Look at the total number of transactions, because you can hire enough people who do two transactions a year to their grandparents and get that number to go up.
Uh-huh.
They want productive. And so it's a different way of looking at the business. You've got to decide which type of broker are you going to be?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would personally be the broker. I want producing agents.
You want relationships. You want to know who these people are. Like, I know you. Like, you're going to want to know who they are. You want to know that they can talk to you and you can help and you can know what's going on and that you have productive people that when they're out there, you know, using your name and being out there, that you know that you've got, you know, somebody you trust and who's actually in this business, so they're committed to this business and they are,
they're
would
showing
be you.
Up. I don't care about being the biggest.
Correct.
You know what I mean? And so, but some love that.
Yeah.
They want to be the biggest.
Yeah.
They want market share by agents and offices.
Yeah, you, by the way, that's not surprising because you always say it. You know, even like from a First Up perspective, right? Like, you're the CEO of First Up. You'll have companies that you'll bring to me and be like, there's this many agents, there's this many whatever. Here's the price that, you know, whatever. And like, sometimes you're like, I don't even want, though, I don't want them to, they're not going to implement, it's not going to come from the top, they're not going to focus right, they're not going to, I don't want my tool in their
we've
hands.
We've had that, and there are large brokers, and I'm like, oh, man, like.
Yeah, you're like, no thanks.
I could collect the paycheck, I'm not the paycheck.
You're like, it's going to look bad on
revenue.
Us.
Yeah. But they're not going to adopt it. I'd rather not have to, like, chase them down.
Yeah.
And if they don't see the value in the tool, I'm not going to chase
the dollar.
But
then later
on,
they're going to go, right? This doesn't work. And it's like, you didn't do any, you did nothing.
And there's,
like,
been several times where I've, and it's so sad to say this, but I won't chase that relationship.
Yeah.
If you don't see the value in investing in your agents and you're not investing in yourself from the top, then you know what? It's not going to work out. You and I are not going to work out.
Yeah, you'd rather use your time effectively and be dealing with people who are going to actually do what you tell them how to implement, how to whatever. Like, you're a relationship person. There's no doubt about
it. Yeah. So just like you mentioned, like John and Angela and our friend, like Nico Gentile, we talked about out in California, which he felt the impact of this whole merger and acquisition because he's a smaller luxury broker. His agent productivity going down is so high, and people gravitate to Nico.
Right.
But just like they would gravitate to John and to Angela, but they're very selective.
Right. It's an attraction model where it's like, look, hey, we don't just take everybody, like whatever. Mm-hmm. Like we want the good. We want the best.
So
of the
it's interesting. Every broker is different. And it's great when we sit down with First Step. I always ask their brokers, like, what is your goal for your? Are you wanting to grow by volume?
Yeah.
By agent count?
Yeah.
What do you want?
Yeah.
And this allows me to help them on a marketing side and support them, but everyone's different.
We by the way, we do the same thing in coaching. Anybody can join virtual, but you know we say all the time that when we're interviewing somebody, we're doing a consult for coaching. We're interviewing them as much as they're interviewing us. We don't want people getting into one-on-one coaching, meaning they're literally paying a monthly fee that would be the amount of, you know, getting a premium lease on a car and then never driving the car. We don't want you here if you're not going to be coachable.
Yeah.
You know, like, we don't want some bad testimonial. Absolutely. Oh, I tried and it sucked. Absolutely. It's like, no, no, no. And you can't ever go back into those responses online and be like, no, you sucked. Like, we wanted to whatever, but you just won't, you know?
Yeah.
You can't say that, you know? And so I get that. Like, you want people who are gonna actually, you can actually help. But to go back to your original, so let's just make sure everybody understands.
The merger and acquisition.
We talk about M&As, we're talking about mergers and acquisitions. Yes. I did a video a couple months ago where I said, you're about to see the great migration. And I saw you put that story up. Thank you. Mm-hmm. You put up a video of that video of mine saying, you know,
you're about to see
the great migration, a lot of M&As, a lot of people moving. And you were like, he called it, like, here it comes, because it's been happening everywhere, right? And so my point was, when I said the great migration, was twofold. Number one, you were going to have the great migration of agents because of all the change in the industry. You were going to have agents that actually went to brokerages who actually gave them an advantage.
Correct.
Meaning, now that you have to have buyer agency sign, now that you know, pre-market inventory is a big deal, now that, you know, whatever, you're going to go to places that use First Up, that have a certain CRM, that have a certain, like, you're going to go to these places. But the other reason we were going to see the great migration was because you were going to see a lot of M&As, mergers and acquisitions. Mm-hmm. When you looked at the NAR settlement not covering companies over $2 billion, you got to figure a lot of those companies that are over $2 billion are going to start to fold into other larger companies who have already settled to try to avoid having to pay out themselves the settlement. And you saw this with Latter & Blum, big company. That folded into Compass, you know, and you saw it when you look at something like Guarantee out of California, and we've seen many other examples. And I'm telling you right now, guys, it is just the beginning. It is going to keep happening and happening and happening, and you're going to see a lot of these companies consolidate. You're going to see M&As, mergers and acquisitions, happen all over the place. And many times, people think mergers and acquisitions is something, what'd they pay for it? Many times, it's not going to be anything. It's just going to be take them over and try to see if we can now make them profitable, because a lot of brokerages are not profitable to begin with. And then on top of that, when you start saying that now they're going to have to pay out millions in a settlement, they're like, we don't have millions. And look, I'm not going to go into detail, but I have talked to people behind the scenes who are in these conversations, who have talked to these attorneys that are trying to sue the and whatever, and they've said brokerages are not profitable. Like, they don't have millions of dollars to give you. I know they did $4 billion in volume. They don't have $80 million to give you. And the attorneys think they're hiding it. The attorney's like, bull crap. It's there. We know it's there. We're going after them because they don't understand our industry. So what's going to happen is a lot of these companies that are over that $2 billion but do not have the money for this cash grab to give to these attorneys, they're going to be forced to merge in with other larger companies who either have the money or have already settled. And so you're going to keep seeing it happen, seeing it happen, seeing it happen. And if you're one of those companies that's one of the larger ones that have already settled or something, and you want to grow, you better start looking at these other companies and having those conversations because they are going to be looking to move. If it hasn't happened already, it's happening. So M&As are a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we, before we close, can we talk about one more thing?
Yeah, of course.
I got a little blinded there by that bling on your finger.
Oh.
I don't think we've done a podcast since.
I don't think I've been here since the engagement.
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I don't think we have.
Which is kind of crazy. That means I just haven't been here.
I know.
For almost 2 months.
Well, we have, but we didn't do, I think we were, but we didn't do a, anyway, you started off the podcast and you said that you are now.
Future Mrs. James.
Future Mrs. James. Yes. So we had a vacation in Mexico.
Yeah. I mean, that was the first week of March. That's how long it's been. Mm. Crazy.
We've been together a couple years now. Mm-hmm. I'm not good with the exact time frames, but like, you know, it's been a couple years. We are now engaged.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
It's fun.
There you go. Tomas.
Tom's our DJ.
Tom, I don't think we even, did we even say hello to you at the beginning today?
No, I said hello. I did say hi, Tom, producer Tom.
So Jared ignored you. What we're doing here is I'm the only jerk here. Well, I was fired up. To be fair,
yeah.
I just saw this news.
Like I said, you were coming in hot.
I just saw this news on the Home Services of America thing, and I'm like, are you freaking kidding
me? We were actually at the gym this morning, Tom, and he looks over at me, and we're running on this treadmill in a media room, so it's dark, and he's like, look it. He's looking at them, like, shaking the phone. I was like,
I got a message about this whole settlement, whatever, and I just showed him. I'm like, are you – $250 million. $250.
I mean, he had a good
billion.
Cardio workout this morning with that. It's like, what the
and
heck?
I know so many people at these companies too, so it angers me. But Tom, hello.
Good morning, Tom.
And we do, by the way, we do appreciate Tom because Tom does. You talked about hours and whatever. Tom and I talk hours all the time. I never have to worry about like if something needs to get done. Like I try not. You can tell me if I'm wrong here. That you could. You're not in trouble or anything. But like I try.
We'll just
I
cut
try
this part out.
You say when you are in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. No, I try to legit. I do try to legit like leave you alone after hours. Like there's always stuff going on. There's always whatever. So if I'm reaching out to you, and a lot of times I'll even after hours be like, hey, you don't need to handle this now. Okay. I'm just working and I'm getting it off my plate right now. Mm-hmm. Like whatever. And then there's times where like there's legit things. And like Sunday morning, I'm calling you and be like, Tom, we got it, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Tom always like, he's like, got it. Okay, doing it. Da-da-da. You never know anything else going on. Tom
Which is
just
so,
jumps on
it was so hard. Like, it's crazy because, you know, Tom's younger than us and you don't have a lot of people like that are these loyalists.
Well,
these
I have
days.
Learned, I have learned, kind of like who I can trust, you know, and, Tom is definitely one of those. There's no doubt about it. And I'm comfortable enough with Tom to literally just say to him, like, hey, you don't have to do this now. Like, this is just, I'm just getting this off my plate. And I think Tom is comfortable enough, too, that if I gave him something after hours that he just couldn't handle at that moment, I would hope you would be like, hey, is there something? Can I handle this later? Can I do whatever? Mm-hmm. You know, again, I could be wrong, but I think I'm reasonable. I'll be like, hey, cool. Or I got to pass it to someone else because I need this done.
And for those that don't know, Tom is not only producer Tom, but Tom wears multiple hats.
Well, Tom is actually HR.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You do a lot.
Tom is HR, but Tom is kind of like, Tom, like I said, Tom is like my trusted person who like if I need something or if it's private or if it's like there's stuff going on, whatever, like Tom's the person I go to because I'm like, all right, I feel like Tom's going to be, till proven differently, like he's kind of, you can trust Tom, you know?
Absolutely.
Everyone needs a Tom.
But everyone does need a Tom.
Everyone needs a Tom. I mean, the guy's got an advanced shirt on right now.
Oh my gosh, talk about the advanced before we wrap up.
Oh, forgot about
that.
Why
don't we talk about that?
All right,
before we go there,
I just want to say, so we're engaged.
Oh yeah, sorry. We are engaged. I love you too.
It's so interesting because you go into an engagement and it's like the last people you should be taking advice from, relationship advice, people who go through divorces. But on the flip side, I almost feel like those are the people you should. Because, like, you learn so much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And one of the most important things that I've learned about relationships, because people ask me all the time, especially after going through a divorce and otherwise, like, what do you learn? What did you learn about relationships? And what I've really learned about relationships is that relationships are multiplication, not addition. Hmm. You know, everyone always says they love to quote, you know, the Tom Cruise movie, you know, and they say, you complete me. That's not good if someone completes you. Hmm. Completion means addition. That means half plus half. That means that literally you came in as half a person, okay? And relationships are multiplication. Like, they're not going to work unless you're a whole times a whole, okay? One times one equals one. It's that simple, right? And so probably one of the best things that I've learned through all the experiences and whatever and being with you and going through the stuff we've had to go through and learning and growing and everything and being ready to get to the point to say, let's get married, is that relationships are multiplication, not addition. You don't complete the person. Mm-hmm. There's a synergistic feel, but it comes through multiplication. And mm-hmm. that's what I feel Aww. With you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I agree. That's all I have to say to that.
On that note, where were you going?
What was I? Oh, lately I've been doing the whole Instagram, like, plan my wedding.
Oh, I know.
Jared's like, Instagram really planning our wedding? Oh, I'm like, well, they're definitely giving input.
I've seen all your responses, everybody.
It's been so fun, though, to get people's feedback, opinions. Don't do this. I would suggest this. Big wedding, small wedding.
Yeah, that's where you're different than me.
Keep it simple. Yeah, you don't care.
Like, I would put content out and talk to people about content. Oh. I'm not going to go back and forth with people about things about my wedding. Whereas you, I've got to push you to do content.
You know why?
But when it comes to stuff about the wedding, you're like, next up and this.
You know why? It's because we're on two different coasts.
Yeah.
We need to figure out where we're going to have it. And what's great is we have audience all over the place.
I'm saying you're good with that. Like, you like doing that stuff.
But so it's been.
I mean, I am an ordained minister. We can do this at the advance.
Oh, you are?
Oh, my God.
What?
We can do this at the advance. Well, there's a way to drive ticket sales. Yeah. Come to our wedding.
We can make some money off of that. Yeah, yeah. No, I didn't know that about you.
If that does well, I'm getting married and divorced every year.
Just gosh.
New wife
to the same
every
person.
Year.
No.
We're just going to keep driving ticket
that
sales.
That multiplication thing was a whole.
Okay. Keep driving ticket sales.
No, but it's been fun. We got a lot planned out of it.
Yeah. I mean, we're more planned than we're telling everybody.
Yeah,
we're ready
we are.
To go.
We are ready to go.
I think pay attention. At some point, you're going to see when you least expect it. Oh, look, they're married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you and I
Who
are
knows
not.
When?
What's so crazy is, you know, you're a man that goes on a stage, you talk in arenas, but you and I talked about this. We want something super simple, intimate. And
by the stage, she means swinging on a pole. Usually some kind of a Chippendales.
Little bow tie.
Yes.
Ladies,
yes.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
This man.
Yeah.
No, but
they know me as my stage name.
We want something super simple, intimate, you know, with
really small.
Just really close friends.
You know, that is very true. Mm-hmm. I have some, you know, people that whatever, like we have friends that we like, you know, they become like family where it's like mm-hmm. you just trust these people. You know they're going to be there. You're going to be your friends 30 years from now. And I think that's what we're more interested in than doing a big hoorah.
And it's so crazy when you go through a divorce or something big in life, like you really know who those core people are, right? Mm. They either stay by your side and they support you.
Yeah.
Or they slowly leave.
Well,
and I think
told
we've
you
seen that.
Go ahead.
Unfortunately, I've seen that on my side.
No, fortunately.
Oh, yes. Well, I guess you see their true colors.
What do you mean unfortunately? Fortunately. When someone shows you who they are, believe them. Mm. I'm glad we know.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally feel like that. I'm glad we know. Mm-hmm. That's the truth.
No, you're right. And so, the past 2+ years, you know, we've had up and downs of different types of community. And then now we have our core, right? And those are the ones that we really kind of want to make sure that we lean into continually. And so it's been great.
Yeah. And, I was going to say something about that, but I forget what it was now.
But I would love to talk about that. I know we have to wrap up soon, but I want to talk about the advance. It's a big deal.
Well, you know what you reminded me of and other people reminded me of as well is that I forgot this was the 10-year advance.
Yes.
So we moved the location and dates. We're September 19th and 20th in Orlando, Florida at the Rose and Shingle Creek Resort. And guys, it's our 10-year anniversary. Mm-hmm. And so that means we're going to do something a little special. Get your tickets. Go to jaredjamestoday.com/advance and make sure while you're there, get a ticket to the after party.
Yeah.
Because what we're going to do is we're going to get a band and we're going to throw on a hoorah.
It's going to be so much fun. We're 9 minutes away from Universal Studios.
Yeah.
A little.
Next to everything.
A few miles away from Disneyland.
And it's a beautiful resort.
It's
it's
gorgeous.
Like literally beautiful resort, pool.
Bring your family.
Just, you know, restaurants
bring friends.
Everywhere. It's a resort. And it is...
make a vacation out of it.
So although this year, unlike we normally do Monday and Tuesday, we're doing Thursday and Friday.
Which is perfect.
So that people can stay for the weekend. Yes. But at minimum, you need to stay to Saturday. Because Friday night when the advance is over, we are going to throw a bash.
Yes.
And we're going to do a 10-year celebration of all things Advance and just have a have so much fun together, get a band there, and just we're going to end it with a bash and celebrate 10 years of learning and fun and getting to know each other.
We can't give away all the details, but it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. So, make sure you don't just come for Thursday and Friday. Stay through to Saturday. Get your ticket for Friday night. Tickets very cheap, and it's going to be an open bar. There'll be food. There'll be all that kind of stuff. And more importantly, you can't put an amount of money on memories.
Yeah.
And we're going to make some memories, have a good time, and do it near Mickey.
And we're and we are allowing, we're looking for sponsors too for those vendors that
just
are out there.
Yeah.
And we're very limited on sponsors who are wanting there. So that's,
but we got some cool packages this year.
I know. I'm very excited about this.
Yeah, we're going to, that come in and do our 10-year and do the Advance, I'm gonna promote them heavy because, as you know, we don't allow people that I don't believe in. So the ones that come in that we believe in, we're going to promote them. We're going to make sure they do well, and we'll have a big crowd. It'll go out to a lot of people. And then, you know, all the side stuff. So in addition to the stuff that happens live there, the stuff that happens with the replay, the stuff that happens with the virtual audience, I'll be taking clips and promoting and stuff too on my Instagram and on my YouTube and all this kind of, and we'll have hundreds of thousands of views and like all this kind of stuff. So it'll be a good thing.
It'll be a big one. Tom, I really want Jared to do a live podcast.
Great. Oh boy.
There. I think it'd be so cool to have some kind of a platform set up and a live podcast going. And maybe even in the middle of like mixers or something that's happening, that would be the coolest thing.
Got a meeting with Reagan.
People need to let me know
coming up next week.
We could get someone on. Maybe we could get someone there that we could do. You could do an interview with that.
Somebody, you do the podcast. With Chris, what do you mean?
Yeah, well,
what are you talking about?
Pat McAfee did the whole thing at WrestleMania. That'd be like.
See, that's stuff we need to hear about. We need to know like what that looked like because I have no idea.
I think that would be awesome.
Huh.
But we are going all out. We're super excited. Like goodie bags, a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a great time. The weather is going to be awesome.
10-year Advance. If you have ever attended Advance, if you have ever followed me on any level, if you have ever heard of my voice, if you've ever been to a Subway, if you've ever been to the Gallery of Jewelry, come to the Advance.
Yeah.
I got to see if I can dig out
bring
like
a friend
my, first,
too.
My first staff shirt and wear that to the bash. That'd
Dang.
Be fun.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
God.
It's going to be a great time.
Going back.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we ran into Anthony at the gym yesterday.
I ran into him at Lowe's a few months ago.
Lowe's?
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah.
I just learned something. You're Lowe's over Home Depot.
Well, yeah, it's because it's convenience. It's right down the street.
I was going to say, it's either people have a thing with Lowe's Home Depot or it's just a geographical thing.
It's just right there.
Gotcha. Yeah. Aren't they the same thing?
They are.
They really are. Anyway, so yeah. Advance coming.
Yeah.
We did a lot of stuff today just on everything going on in the industry. There's so much more that we could cover going on in the industry. It's just it's changing times right now. And I've said this many times and I'll say it again. If you're in this industry and you're a pro, you will not be eliminated in this industry because of change. You will be eliminated because of your inability to pivot and change, pivot and adjust to that change. That's all that matters, you know? So pay attention to what's happening. Listen to voices like mine and others who do a great job educating you on what's happening. We don't have to agree with everything going on in order to adjust to it or to take advantage of it. You know, I said the other day with First Up, we were talking to a company, and I said, we're not happy with everything that happened in the industry, but boy, was it good for us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it's just like, it was great for First Up. It was great for coaching. It was great for, you know, all those things. I'm not happy about it, but it, you know, like anything, there's always silver linings. There's always opportunities.
Oh, absolutely.
You're going to have less agents in this industry. That's not a bad thing. But you're going to have more power agents. You're going to have more agents doing more business. You just have to decide whether you're going to be one of those agents or you're going to be somebody on the sideline screaming and crying about all the changes. You know, look, when they change the rules, they change it for everybody. So you just got to be a better game player. You got to know how the pieces move on the chessboard. That's it.
No, I just have wrestling things in my head because now I'm just like, it's time to play
so
the
game. That just means he didn't listen to you.
It's time to play the game. I don't even know what he's talking about. Some of you might know what he's talking about.
Someone's
Are you a big
know.
Wrestling fan?
I just started getting into it like the last couple of years. Now I'm like uber into it.
I was a big Hulk Hogan fan.
That's unfortunate.
But that's a long, oh God. You're not a fan of...
I'm not a Hulkamaniac.
The Hulkster?
No.
God, what you gonna do?
What
big
you
brother.
Gonna do, brother? Yeah,
that was my time, man. We would get same thing every time.
Yeah.
You know, they would try to put him a sleeper a third time. Oh, my God, it didn't, you know.
Didn't
and then
work.
He'd get all crazy, start spinning. And then they'd try to hit him. He'd stop it. He'd punch him. He'd throw him against the rope, do the leg thing, back and forth, drop the leg on him. They're out. Same thing every time. And yet every time, get us excited.
It's an interesting time.
Like it's
right
happening.
Now.
It's happening.
It's great times.
You know, amazing how we fell for that. Simpler times.
Still do.
Anyway. All right. Well, anything else you guys want to say?
No. Nope.
Okay. Tomas.
Nice.
Anything else you want to say?
No, I think I'm all
right.
All right, guys, we hope we get to have you at the Advance, Orlando, Florida, September 19th and 20th. Attend the party on the 20th, guys. Yeah. Got to get your ticket to that. It's an additional ticket. And for anybody who complains about having to do additional ticket with the prices that we charge for tickets to the actual event, give me a break. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, you know, we're not making money on that thing. Like, that's just, we're doing open bar, we're doing whatever. That's just, we try to keep it as affordable as possible for everybody. Yeah. And if you go online and see the prices of our tickets right now compared to all other real estate events, I don't know what to say other than give me a break. Like, we're doing everything possible.
Is Room Block out already?
Room Block is out. You Perfect. Can, you better get it soon because that sucker's going to sell out. Like, we do not have the number That's of rooms for the number of people who are going to attend.
It always does.
Yeah. So you need to get Perfect. Your rooms. That's it, guys. We love you. We'll see you online. Go to connectwithjared.com. Got a lot of videos coming out, guys. Make sure you're engaging. Make sure you're creating your own stuff. Thanks for watching, listening, always. Mm-hmm. We love you guys, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Yeah, we're out.
See you.
Thanks so much for listening. Please take a moment and go to www.connectwithjared.com to connect with Jared James on all the platforms you are active on. And please remember to subscribe and leave a positive review on the platform you are listening on if you enjoyed the podcast.